Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Monday show, Guiding Your Light with Kurt. Kurt is moving from Buffalo to his mom's house, and so I'm guest hosting for him today, and our show is about Halloween and fear. My name is Mary, and I am usually the host for Chaos in Your Mind on Wednesdays. Welcome. So I've been hosting this show for a while now and guest hosting today for Kurt. And I'm a firm believer that we can't move forward until we understand where we came from first. So I've spent the weekend listening to some of the first radio shows produced by Joel Griffin. And he was a brilliant and generous man that I sadly did not get the chance or the pleasure to meet. So I've decided that I'm going to go back to the roots of the radio show. So good afternoon, everyone. And it's a beautiful day wherever you are. And the wonderful thing is we get to share optimizing people's lives. It's a beautiful thing. We are having hope for lunch. You have had many lunches in your life. And I do not know that you've had hope for lunch. So it's going to be an exciting afternoon. And I'd like to tell you that Optimize My Life radio show is created and sponsored by the Hope Collection. And it's a nonprofit and has programs in 8 areas: faith, family, food, housing, wellness, energy, arts, and education. Its slogan is helping others by helping them help others. So if you look at the situation and you said there's 8 things, well, why there's a broad base of things and you have a slogan to help others, it sounds pretty synergetic. You are right. Our goal is to optimize your life every day, everybody's life, to help them forward, improve the quality of life across the board for them, their families, and their extended family, in their communities, in their regions, and across the country, and across the globe. The beauty of that is that it's overly exciting. It's about helping other people. If we can approach life in that respect, it's a terrific thing. The founder of the Hope Collection, Joel Griffin, had this approach and viewpoint that giving is the best gift in life. Cycle of appreciation is approaching the life in the viewpoint of there is no catch-up. When you only want to give, what you do is that you take the hook away. The objective is to help others, but the beauty is to help them help others. It's a pay it forward kind of approach. And you are building people to build people in their lives, their neighborhood, their families. Then everything begins to appreciate what this whole show is about. Now, we are excited about being able to offer opportunity for people to come, listen, to engage, listen to the replay. First of all, I want to wish you all a happy Halloween. In honor of Halloween, we're going to doing a special show on fear. You can't have Halloween without fear. We've all experienced fear, but Halloween is the pure time of year when we look for that rush that usually accompanies being scared. Are you in need of a scare specialist for this year's Halloween specialist celebrations? Then you need not to look any farther than your own brain. Perhaps you'll be spending Halloween watching A Nightmare on Elm Street with your hands over your eyes. Or maybe you'd rather wander around a haunted house watching for ghouls or critters to pop out of unseen annexes. Whatever your taste may be, when faced with such spine-tingling situations, the brain enters flight or fight mode. This is a primitive survival mechanism in which your body undergoes a stress response to a perceived threat in your surrounding environment. Millions of people are watching reruns of scary movies or will fully participating in what basically amounts to a light psychological distress. During a spooky season, we crave fear. We want it. On the face of it, however, deliberately choosing to be scared seems rather unusual. Aren't our bodies supposed to recognize fear as a negative thing? That way we know when to arm ourselves against threats, right? Well, to understand this a little bit better, I've contacted and talked to a trauma specialist who has offered some insight in what really happens with our brains when we decide to seek the sensation of the fright. A big part of the draw is there's an adrenaline rush. In that exact moment, we feel fear. Elicited from a jump scare in a horror film, for instance, our brain releases a cocktail of endorphins and adrenaline. That mixture of hormones is similar to what the brain sends out during moments of excitement. So, of course, we rejoice in excitement, and that's why fear often feels good. We're kind of basically confusing our brain between good and bad. Excitement are two sides of the same coin. And a lot of people, that sort of jolt isn't exciting, even if fear is an ingredient. Hi, Derek. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing great. We're talking about why we like to scare ourselves during Halloween.
Yeah.
Why we like to dress scary, watch horror movies once a year, go to haunted houses. So like I was explaining, fear and excitement go hand in hand. They're two sides of the same coin. A lot of people, that's that jolt, even if it's fear as an ingredient, is short-lived fear can also offer a uniquely satisfying experience. We're purely excited or happy. Our bodies primarily trigger dopamine, the classic pleasure hormone. So the section of their brain that's responsible for judging threats decides there's danger, and adrenaline and the stress hormone, cortisol, gets added to the mix. These two activate our survival instincts. When we start to notice those physical sensations in your body, your breath gets kind of short and shallow, your heart starts pumping faster, you start to feel a little restless, your eyesight gets a little better, you're keyed up, you're focused, you're paying attention, you're on edge, you're ready to react. We're excited, we love it. At least some of us do anyway. But if you're anything like some of us, the panic-filled bump of energy doesn't immediately subside. Once a scary movie screen fades to black, it's not uncommon to feel a lingering sense of stress, even though we know the film is over and it wasn't real. When we engage with something that is scary, the next natural progression of our brain is to sort of dwell on that, the what if. And we're setting our brain up to go into a worst-case scenario and start to plan survival strategies. The solution is to get out of something horrible. Get out of it is that something horrible is happening. And we tend to use the classic distraction technique. Listening to classical soothing music, watching something cute and cuddly, safe. It's not necessarily that I can't be afraid, that I'm going to really intentional about the flavor of fear I'm going to engage with. Those who prefer not to encounter a bloody ghoul on Halloween, or anyone who can find fear unpleasant, it can be particularly painful for people who have experienced trauma or had a more complicated relationship with the emotions. Because their minds have been primed to categorize some threats as extremely serious, and even related to fear producing, could evoke a strong response, like a panic attack. Now, feeling fear is a safer way. Some people may prefer to enter into a fear response while in a supportive environment with friends or family, or other comforting elements. Well, for example, someone who's sensitive to heights may not have fun skydiving, but they enjoy a virtual reality version of it. You don't want to live in a constant state of fear, but it's important to know that you can experience the fear and survive that circumstance. People who experience traumatic events or have lived in where they've long-term been in a scared situation or faced that fear from a trauma, just facing your fear, facing what scares you, desensitizes you so that you can that environment as opposed to avoiding that in the environment. Learning how to take a breath and how to rationalize things and remind yourself through mantras or whatever that you are safe now, that you're not in that environment anymore, helps you deal with fear. You know, avoiding certain feelings or certain situations and this, avoiding the symptoms of the trauma makes it hard to face it. And that can actually make your anxiety and your PTSD and other issues worse. But we walk a fine line between facing our fears and normalizing it. When you start to normalize things like scary movies or fear, you become desensitized from it. And it's a slippery slope. You know, adrenaline junkies have to find the next big event. They have to do stunts that are scarier or more dangerous to get that same feeling. Fear is healthy. Most of the things we're afraid of, bugs, snakes, heights, are natural and were really dangerous for early man. And these things can actually be dangerous if not handled properly. But sometimes we can react to things that aren't actual threats. Taking tests and finding when you look for ways to avoid them or suppress them before they can cause harm. You know, your fear of snakes keeps you locked in your house and keeps you from engaging in other activities can be unhealthy. Part of the fear for Halloween is death. You know, death is a scary thing because we don't know when we're going to go, how we're going to go, what it's like to die. So as we're going into shorter days of the year, what we're doing is recognizing that increasing darkness by tweaking death a little bit, mocking it, and confronting it. Finding a way to talk about it is healthy. The reaction to our fears was originally developed by our ancestors due to the predators in the world that was in the world that was filled with danger. And because we're not in that world anymore, a lot of what we perceive as danger is more mental. And with having this fear mentally, it causes more psychological distress. first way to face your fears or fight your fears is coming up with a plan. Because when you're in that moment, it's harder to think clearly. Your mind's all over the place. You're focusing. So when you come up with a plan ahead of time and you practice the plan, or you have a good friend with you to go over the plan with you, it makes it easier to face it. And learning what the symptoms are, not just, okay, so you're scared of this. You know, going through what your body's doing, what your mind's doing. You know, your heart racing, your mind racing. You're basically training your body to be aware of the fear and overcoming it. And the first step is to be aware of the fears, whatever they are. And not just what the fear is, but also what your body is going through. Because you can start to feel when your anxiety is kicking in or that fear is starting to kick in, you start to worry, your mind starts racing a little bit, your heart starts pumping. So then you start having a hard time breathing. And taking a step back, when you start to feel these beginning symptoms and start consciously breathing, consciously going through the movement, it makes it so much easier. The next step is accepting the environment around you, accepting what that fear is, and accepting the fact a big part of our fears are letting go of control. The more we force control, we fight the fear, the harder it is to face it. And when you're learning to accept that people are going to be outside or things are going to happen, I can't control what this person's doing, but I can control what I think. I can control what I do. And accepting that makes it, it's one of the hardest things to do. Because as the humans, we want to control our environments. We want to control everything around us. And that's not always a conscious thing. A lot of it's subconscious. Because there's so much in our life that we don't have control of. And fear is a lack of control. Breathing through everything and you're understanding that you can't control everything. And you're learning to face your fears. Because avoiding that situation makes it even scarier. You know, baby steps. You're someone that's scared of heights. You won't even step on a step stool. Take that first step. And keep going from there. And realizing, you know, as you're taking those steps forward in life and you're facing those fears, you're understanding you've got this. Now, as you're facing your fears, you're going through all this, try imagining the worst case scenarios. So are you having a panic attack and going to have a heart attack? And now rationalize that worst case scenario. Rationalizing your worst case scenarios, that they're more than likely not going to happen. No, you can't induce yourself into a heart attack. You can't force yourself to have a heart attack. And the more you chase that fear, you face that fear, confront that fear, the smaller that fear becomes. Another way is looking at the evidence. So you're scared of elevators because you saw a movie with someone being trapped in an elevator. Research it. How often does an elevator cable break? How often does this stuff really happen? One in a million? Now, flip it around. What would you say to your friend that has this fear? And tell it to, and say it out loud. How would you support that person?
As you're listening to this,
just talking about what would you say to somebody makes it so much easier for you to face it, to understand what you're going through. So, don't try to be perfect. Nobody is perfect. Life is so full of stress. And learning how to combat your stress, learning how to deal with everything in life. Nobody's life is perfect. Just because you see somebody's life that looks perfect on social media, that's only a part of their life that they want to show with you. Well, we all want to portray our lives as perfect out to the world. Well, bad days will happen. Bad things will happen. It's what we do in those bad days and the bad times and the stress that makes it so much better. No, the most important thing is life is messy. No, I have a sign up as you walk in my door to my house from my garage, and it says, don't mind the mess. My kids are making memories. Because my house gets messy. I could choose to spend all day, every day, cleaning my house, picking up behind the kids, doing all that other stuff. But if I'm doing that, then I'm not spending time with my kids. I'm focusing so much on trying to control the environment and learning to let go and just walk away. It's healthy. You know, visualizing a happy place. When you're that stressed out or you're that scared, just take a moment. Close your eyes. And find that happy place, that calm place. No, it may be somewhere you grew up. It could be, a wooded area. It could be anywhere. What is your happy place? And as you're imagining this happy place, let all those positive thoughts and feelings engulf you. And as those positive feelings are engulfing you, it helps you calm down. And understand that there's nothing to be scared of. Well, there's a famous quote, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Well, another big aspect is talking about it. Talking to professionals, talking to a friend, a family member. There's even helplines that you can call and talk to about it. Well, if nothing else helps, you can go talk to a professional, a life coach, or counselor, therapist, some professional that teaches you how to face those fears and does it in a safe environment for you. You know, a lot of individuals self-medicate to deal with the fear or the anxiety. But you got to remember, it may help you forget the fear or the anxiety in that moment. But it's a short, it doesn't make it go away. It makes it worse because it compounds each time. Going back to basics, or taking a walk, focusing on something else, watching that video, focus on simple things. And at the same time, at the, you know, reward yourself for facing your fear, dealing with that problem. Don't just avoid it. You know, the big thing is you got to remember, everybody faces fear. Everybody has a fear. You're not exempt from it just because you're you. You're not the only one in the world that has struggling. What makes you unique is how you handle it and how you deal with it and how you face it. And facing the fear is just as scary as the fear itself. But once you face it and you continue on and you eliminate that fear, you empower yourself to keep going. You empower yourself and reward yourself for eliminating that fear. You know, the misconception is that phobias and fears are the same thing. Well, fear is an emotion that you experience when you face a threat. Sometimes those threats are imminent, real danger, or just a perceived danger, an active imagination. Fears are healthy. Phobias are an excessive fear based on a specific situation or an object or thing that impacts your daily life. Fears are out of proportion to the actual real danger and how and your brain basically legitimizes it to make you feel valid. Now, when you're practicing mindfulness, about having that intentional awareness in the present moment. It's what your present moment, your present emotions, it's being right there in that moment. And understanding that that emotion or that thought is only temporary. You're practicing your deep breathing technique. Deep breathing gives you a sense of calm. You know, when you're practicing these deep breathing techniques, it helps with your mood. But as you're going through them, you're clearing your mind. You're coming up with another plan on how to. It's like distracting you from the moment and showing you that the fear is not as scary as you think it is. No, when you're in that fear, in that moment, try consciously relaxing your muscles. You notice your face tightening up. So your neck, your shoulders tightening up. And as it's tightening up, start rolling your neck a little bit, wiggling your arms, shaking your arms a little bit, unclenching your hands. As you're releasing the muscles, it helps you relax. And as you're relaxing, it's also relaxing your mind. So find humor in the situation. Turn around and make it funny. When you turn around and make a joke, a lot of people, their natural reaction to the situation is making a joke. And that's some people's automatic responses to the situation. So as you're making that joke, it's helping you understand the fears. Now, another avenue to look at is the Bible. The secrets to conquering fear can be found in the Bible. The fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. It offers escape from the snares of death, which is Proverbs 14:27. His word says to have a healthy fear of the Lord. Well, when you fear the Lord, you understand he created you and deserves authority over your life. And when you have a proper reverence for God, you draw close to him instead of running away. It's like your parents. You have that respect, and that brings you closer. Well, educating yourself. When you generally know who God is, you're not scared of him. You trust and love him. And God wants to help you with your fears. But you have to look for him. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34:4. Call on God and face your fears with him. He wants to help you overcome fear. When you call on to God to handle your fears, you're never alone. You know, God wants you to experience peace and eternal life. And what keeps us from having that life God planned for us is fear. And understanding that and facing that helps us to focus and helps us to overcome that fear. You know, God created us in his image. He gave us all will and freedom of choice. And we choose to disobey him and go our own way. And this separates us from God. And fear is what helps keep us separated. When we accept him and accept that he's there to help us, no, there's no bridge reaches God but one. Praying helps us pray about your worries, pray about your fears. See, not only does that help us overcome our fears, burden somebody else with our fears, but it gets us to realize what our fears are. Now, when you're praying to God that you're worried about having enough money to pay your bills or worried about this or worried about that, it brings it from your subconscious to your conscious mind and puts it out there for you to understand and realize that's what I'm scared of. And understanding what your fear is the first step to overcoming that fear. The biggest step to overcoming fear is movement, change, doing something. Now, my mentor, Tiffany Largay, she always says fear hates movement, because when you move and do something, something small even, it doesn't have to be mountains, to even just acknowledging that fear is the first steps to overcoming that fear. Any steps that you make, anything you do to acknowledge that fear, to overcome that fear, to progress from where you are, will make a huge impact on what you're going through right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me today. We just have a few minutes left. And today was our Halloween special. And we talked about fear, what fear is, how fear impacts us, and how to take fear and conquer it, facing it, distracting from it, rationalizing it, putting our faith in God, and acknowledging our fears, and understanding we're not alone. There are resources, there are people, there are friends, there are, reaching out is the first step. Kurt will be back next Monday to re-host his show. Tomorrow is Travel Tuesday with Rick Reese. On Wednesday is Conquering Chaos. And we're going to talk about life and how we go through the holiday season and how to prepare, not just physically but mentally, for the holiday season and the chaos and the stress that comes with it. On Thursday is Family Time with Bob Oakley, who talks about ways to open the relationship up between you and your family, what you're struggling with and how different tips and tricks to deal with that. On Friday is a salute to Captain Len Kane, the Golden Rule Society, and the Kindness Campaign. And Saturday is Coaching Corners, where the Hope Collection talks about different events that are coming up, different things that other coaches are working on, and struggles that they're working on. Well, I hope you enjoyed this. Have a good afternoon, and I will see you on Wednesday. So long for now.